is from the Old Testament list. Again, Isaiah the prophet says, "Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning to guide us and direct us as we live as God's children here in the world. You know, for the last couple months, we've seen a lot of lights around. Lights that adorn the house. Lights that are here in the sanctuary. We have grown to know them and look for them and enjoy them. Each and every one of us has enjoyed those lights. When the lights go out because of electrical failure, what do? We grab a flashlight, we grab a candle so we can see, so we can at least eradicate some kind of darkness that's around us. And maybe we can put ourselves in this gentleman's place. A rather intoxicated man was on his hands and knees under a bright street light. And a policeman came and he said, "What are you looking for?" "My keys. I can't find my keys. I need my keys." "Did you lose them here under the light?" No, I lost them out there someplace." "What in the world are you doing looking for them under the spotlight then?" "Because that's where the light is." Maybe we say that too. Where is God's word? In the light. Jesus himself calls for the light. To eradicate the darkness. Eradicate the darkness of the world. Oh yes, we know about darkness. We turn off the light and we're in darkness. We stumble around the house not knowing where the steps are or whatever because of darkness. When we would visit Karen's mom a number of years ago when she had her own house, we had this bedroom on the back side of the house. No light shone through this bedroom. No street light. She left the night light on the stove for us to make it to the bathroom. But first you got to get out of the bedroom to get over to the bathroom. And I got up and I'm going, okay, where's the door? I'm feeling all around. I went all around that room without the door. See what happens when we have darkness? We can't find our way. The light shines in the darkness. And in John says, "And the darkness can't comprehend the light." Jesus, the light, has come into our lives. Just as Isaiah the prophet wrote to the Israelite people about the light. Because they were steeped in darkness. They didn't know about God and what he was doing. Remember when Moses led the people out of Egypt and they mumbled and grumbled because they didn't have what they wanted and what they sought. But God knew what he needed. God knows what we need too. And yet we live in darkness. The darkness of our sin. The sin that grabs hold of us. And you might think, oh, well, it's those people over there that sin. And they're saying, you people over here sin. We all sin. We've got to bring that down to our understanding. Jealousy, envy, pride, guilt. Those are all that we live with in the darkness. But God sent the light to brighten up the darkness. To eradicate that darkness, the darkness of sin. We confess our sin, and God forgives that sin. Oh yeah, we'll leave this morning, and we'll do the same stuff that we did before. And we wonder. God said to the psalmist, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from me. And in Jeremiah the prophet, he says, I will remember your sin no more. So God doesn't remember. He blots it out. And that's what we need to do as well. As husbands and wives, we never argue, do we? Only one time. Karen and I were having this little argument. She'll probably remember it different than I did. She usually does. But anyway, we're arguing. And I don't remember the point that we were arguing, but we're right up close. And all of a sudden, our oldest son, Paul, crawled up beneath us, between us, and said, stop arguing, forgive one another. Say you're sorry and forgive one another. I mean, coming from a little boy at that time, it just takes your breath away. But that's the thing. We need to say we're sorry and forget and forgive one another those sins. And as we do, it's an interesting thing that God does. Because God comes into our life and God uses us, failed creatures that we are, to share his light, to share Jesus, because that's tantamount in our lives. That's priority one. That is the importance that we have in this world, that Jesus came to die for me. My favorite verse is Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live in the flesh, but I live because of him who lived and suffered for me and died and rose for me. See, that's the most important thing, that Jesus died for each and every one of you, to give you eternal life and forgiveness of sin. The last couple of days, I've been helping with funerals in Lake City. There have been numerous deaths that have happened. Tomorrow night, we're going to go to a visitation for another person who died. And Karen said, when I went to pick up the car, she says, you better pick up two or three more because we're going to more funerals. That's what happens with our mortal life. This body's going to die. But as Christians, as those who believe in Jesus, we will live forever with Jesus, with those who have come before us. And that is what Isaiah is telling us too, to rise, shine. Because we are those shining lights in a dark world. Long time ago, they used to use candle lighters to light the lamps along the street. A boy looked out, and he was watching this candle lighter going up and down the street. He says, Mom, look, he's poking holes in darkness. That's what we are here to do, is poke holes in that dark world, given the light of Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise and let us join together as we confess our faith.